Hello, everyone. Before we start the theme tune, just a quick message to let you know that this version of the podcast is a cut-down edition, and you'll be able to get the longer version through Patreon. Welcome to Casterbridge. My name is Christian Corley, and the chap over there at the other end of Yorkshire is James McLean. How are you doing, James?
I'm all right.
Good. Glad to hear that. I'm not sure when this is going to go out, but at the time of recording, I'm looking forward to the final episode of House of the Dragon, which I was chatting to a friend about this the other night, and I have one of these things that I talk about as soon as any mention of Doctor Who or anything else that Matt Smith is in or has been in, I turn the conversation to Matt Smith's inability to find a movie role that in a hit movie.
And
is
he still lacking on that?
He is, yes.
Oh dear.
Because you know, he's all these amazing hit TV shows that he's been in, whether Doctor Who or like the few short things he's done, like the miniseries, or his role as Prince Philip, in the Crown, all these other things that he's done, and
didn't we do a podcast on this once?
We did. I'll put that in the show notes. And now he's, you know, the lead in House of the Dragon. And I say lead, I used the term correctly. He's the first name on screen, House of the Dragon. And that's even in the first series when he was co-starring in most episodes, even in the episodes he wasn't in, with Paddy Considine. So, you know, it's a big cast, that show. And I've properly bought into it. I'm really, really enjoying it in the same sort of way that I was enjoying Game of Thrones, sort of series, sort of 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's the same sort of level of quality of writing and production. There's no rushing to it or anything like there was with, you know, the 7th series of Game of Thrones sort of dropped a bit, and then the 8th series of Game of Thrones just felt like, you know, flicking through the final few pages of the book to find out who the murderer was, you know?
So what's this podcast going to be about, Christian? Because I'm...
Well, actually, sure it's funny you should ask. It's funny you should ask. Because I was thinking to myself, he says, even though we've both had a conversation about this, so we both know what the podcast is about, you're not watching House of the Dragon, are you?
No.
No. You've chosen a different fantasy avenue to ride your mythical beast along.
There's only two paths here, Christian. You either go down the House of the Dragon path or you go down the Rings of Power path. There is no third path.
And you've taken the Rings of Power?
Yeah, of course I have.
Why?
I mean, every Gen X / millennial should be going down the Rings of Power path. That Lord of the Rings was, you know, our sort of transitional moment in seeing cinema shift in terms of fantasy. And, you know, that was the landmark moment. That's the connection. That's the bond.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones, yeah, I enjoyed, like you. Well, you know, I don't tend to enjoy agreeing with you, but...
yeah, as the listener knows.
Agree. Yeah, I mean... It gets to the 7th season and there's that one terrible episode where, I think we've talked about it before, where they're trapped in the ice and they send for the dragons, which come within 20 to 30 minutes by the look of it. And suddenly the world just truncates into this tiny space of almost like a video game where, you know, you jump between zones rather than having to fly across an entire country to the south.
Yeah, like Spider-Man in the Spider-Man game. You can just like jump to a new zone once you've discovered it and completed it.
Yeah, it just felt the whole idea of Game of Thrones was this massive space of rivaling factions suddenly became very, very small, which is always a danger for every television show. And to be honest, there's a moment in Rings of Power where there is that same thing kind of threatens it.
Oh, really?
So for me, the end of Game of Thrones, I was kind of left with a bad taste.
And yes.
I thought, well, it had its chance, it made its end, and people have listened to this podcast many a times. I've always said, you know, you can always have a bad beginning or a bad middle, but you can never have a bad end.
We should put that on a t-shirt, you know.
Probably, yeah. Well, that's largely because of Game of Thrones. You know, that's the obvious answer of that. You know, it's the obvious, you know, example.
Yeah.
So I had no desire on buying another subscription. And I think for me, and this is perhaps something to talk about, is that I think over the last, especially over the last 7-8 years, I've not felt the desire to sort of delve into the wonder of a cynical world, I suppose cynical is not, some would say realistic, but that sort of more gritty, unkind sort of social politics of Game of Thrones. I felt like I don't want to go back there. Did it, I enjoyed most of it, but I don't want to go back. Why? Especially with everything that's been going on, especially over the last 7 years, not to say that the previous 7 years were a walk in the park either. Why would I want to go back to that world? I just don't want to.
Fair enough.
That was kind of, and I think the other thing for me,
yeah,
was it's a, well, again, but I've got to be careful here, having realised that I'm going to immediately toss you down a pit and then just throw myself down the same pit, is that it's a prequel. And to me, a prequel to Game of Thrones had no interest. Now, right. As I said, one could argue the same for Rings of Power as well.
Yes.
Absolutely, totally. And I think possibly the only answer, the only difference is that while I still don't think people are particularly interested in prequels, if you'd sort of said, would I like to have a sequel to Lord of the Rings, or a prequel, or a sequel to Game of Thrones, or a prequel, I always go for a sequel.
Mm.
I don't think, you know, if the building blocks are not there in the actual original story, you probably don't really need to see them. You know, if you want to, that's great, and you can build a new world from it. But if it's not actually there, there's not that desire to see. Well, there's always a desire to, if you like something, to see more going forward. So, yeah, that sort of level of it being a prequel to a world which I just didn't care about anymore, while with Lord of the Rings, despite The Hobbit doing its best to sour my interest in the world, Lord of the Rings itself kind of left me feeling quite positive about that world. I mean, this is the first time we've talked about it, and as I'm talking about it, I totally forgot about The Hobbit, which I didn't really enjoy that much, to be honest. So
we started watching the first Hobbit movie, and I don't think we got. It was a bit of an epic on its own, wasn't it? In terms of length, I don't think we got to the end of it, and we didn't bother with the other two. Which I suppose, I mean, it's one of those things that needs to be addressed at some point, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the reason I didn't feel a bad taste to the Lord of the Rings universe after The Hobbit is that I didn't really invest enough in The Hobbit to care.
Yeah.
So I forgot about it. While with Game of Thrones, I invested a lot in it to be disappointed. Because I, like you, and I've got several friends who will swear by, you know, have a lot of interest in The Hobbit. I think Magnus likes The Hobbit quite a lot. I'm not there with it for the same reason as you, actually. I found I sat in the cinema, and I think it's about 30 minutes before you leave the Hobbiton, you're stuck in the Shire in Bilbo's house for 30 minutes with a load of annoying dwarfs singing, and I was just like, I just get me out of this house, man, or get me out of the cinema, one or the other, because this is driving me up the wall. I've never liked fantasy dwarfs. As a race, I don't find them very charming. It was a weird one. And
The Hobbit.
I've read the book, so I knew the book, but yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well, The Hobbit, the book, I've always had trouble. I don't think I've ever finished The Hobbit, the book, even. And I don't know why. It's one of the, I mean, my copy of The Hobbit is one that came with a video game.
Yeah, same here.
From the old, I got mine from a computer club. In 1984, 1985 sort of time.
I think my mum bought me mine, but yes, it was a black box with the Hobbit book.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think one of the reasons I didn't finish The Hobbit for a long time was that I think I followed it alongside the game. And I think I got to a point in the game where I just stopped playing it because it got a bit complicated for me at 9 yeah. or 10 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't fully complete, but I did complete it. I did finish the book sometime later, I think. But yeah, the film didn't do much for me. But I kind of, yeah, I think for me it was less to do with a sort of like a loyalty to either brand. It's more that at that time, a couple of years ago, where things were quite hard and were quite fatiguing, and it wasn't necessarily a choice between the two, but of all, as we've said before, with such saturation of content,
yeah.
Rings of Power to me was interesting enough for me to want to invest into it as a series and find space in my time and my subscriptions to do it.
Yeah.
While House of the Dragon, to me, especially because we didn't actually know at that point whether it was going to be any good or not, everyone was still feeling the bite of the end of Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Just didn't want to go back there. Just didn't want to go back to that cruel world.
Yeah, I can completely appreciate that. Do you know what happened? Kerry and I were watching... We had a cheap subscription for Now TV.
Mm-hmm.
Which we mainly used to watch music documentaries. I don't know if you've seen the one on Sky Arts.
Can I stop you there?
Yes. No. Okay. So there's lots of music documentaries on Sky Arts and Sky Atlantic, Sky Arts mainly. But there's one with Brian Johnson from AC/DC where he goes on talking to lots of different rock stars. He's done Dolly Parton, he's done Robert Plant, he's done Billy Joel, loads of them. And
can I stop you again? Dolly yeah. Parton, a rock star.
Yes, I know. I would just pretend that's what I said, and everyone's just gone with it.
Hey, you're the editor. You can put in something quite sensible and make me look the fool.
Indeed, indeed. Again, and I've never done that, and not yet. Anyway.
Well, I never listened to them, so you could. You could have just edited me all out.
You're actually not in any podcast. the point being is we were just flicking and we settled upon something which looked familiar, but we couldn't quite work out what it was at that particular time. It was like an establishing shot or whatever. And it was like a Series 6 episode of Game of Thrones, or 5 or 6 or whatever. We left on for a few minutes because we weren't really paying attention. And then we got into it. And this was, you know, this is however many years after Game of Thrones finished, and about 6 months before House of the Dragon started. And it kind of piqued our interest into it all again.
Mm.
So that's what happened with that. That's how we ended up watching that. Because I fully expect us to, because, I mean, Kerry's kind of a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. She got the special editions on DVD. I haven't seen the cinematic version of Lord of the Rings since the cinema. Every version I've seen since has been the first set with the extended features. Yeah. Not the second set with the extended features. Which I haven't seen either. That in itself is a weird thing, isn't it? That they cut material to fit an already lengthy cinema slot, then put material in for the first DVD release, then added material for the second DVD release. It's crazy.
But I think part of its longevity probably has been those extended editions.
Mm.
Has been not just because there's more, but I think maybe it was one of those rare occasions where there was so much material that you could rewatch that film at home and suddenly feel you've had a more enriching experience. And
yes,
that somehow, and they were lavishly done, those DVDs as well. So I think there's a lot in terms of the strategies of how Lord of the Rings was presented, how it came out. And I think, to be fair to the Hobbit trilogy, I think some of the problems with the Hobbit trilogy is, unfortunately, it's always going to be compared to Lord of the Rings. You know, there was a Spectrum game in the 80s that was a play on, it was the Boggit, wasn't it? I think it was. There was a Spectrum game that was kind of a spoof of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it sat by itself like the Boggit and no one had any connections, they'd probably have a far better appreciation of the Hobbit movies. But especially, I think the second two are actually quite good. I thought they worked quite well. It was the first one I had issues with. While, funnily enough, with Lord of the Rings, I think Fellowship of the Rings is the best of the three movies. And I think it's the best of the three books, too.
Right.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think it depends on kind of what leads you in. And sometimes going back or ending up going back to something before you, you know, the new thing comes on. If that sometimes if TV or the industries can strategically make that work, that can work well. I mean, for instance, like going back to Doctor Who, you know, the BBC and Davis, you know, getting the catalogue on iPlayer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a great move. I mean, yes, you've got some time before Doctor Who comes back on, but there's that whole catalogue to keep people watching Doctor Who and keeping them in the zone, and it's always there. It was a quite
is that still there? Word. Is that there permanently now?
Yeah. I think it's all there permanently, apart from I think Fear has been taken off. I think it's been put back on with a slight change.
Ah, right.
But yeah, I think by and large it's all there. Oh, apart from Unearthly Child, of course.
Oh, of course. Is that still ongoing? Crikey.
I believe so. Yeah, but right. But the point being is, yeah, I can see how you got into House of the Dragon that way, and maybe if I'd had now, and I mean, I sometimes watch slightly grittier things. I think it wasn't just so much that the Game of Thrones was gritty. I think it was that ultimately the Game of Thrones delivered, gave you no rewards for it in the end. And the reward it gave you was very tepid.
Yes.
There was no doubt that
there and was a little massive, bit self-satisfied as well.
What, the actual ending?
Yes. With the, you know, with the look, I knew everything all along because I'm the three-eyed raven and all that nonsense. Of course I'm going to be the king.
I don't know if we've talked about this before, but my two issues with the end of Game of Thrones, that last season, by and large, I don't mind it. There's bits of it which I think are quite all right. It's too rushed. The way it would have worked for me, I think they needed to have... I can't even remember their names now. The ice people actually came down, and that because that's obviously, you know, winter is coming is the catch line for the whole series, and then winter ends within an episode.
Yes,
it needed more there. You needed to feel they needed to pick the threat. If they were going to make that a single series, they needed to decide whether it was Cersei or the ice, which was the threat for the series. You doing both was just nonsensical. And the obvious way to have done it would have just had the ice people plow through to the south, and then you'd combined the finale with both the north and the south in the same city. That would have been the way in my head if you had to do both. Mm-hmm. But you didn't, so that was unsatisfying. It was a good episode when the north is attacked. That's great. But ultimately, it's unsatisfying for seven seasons of being told of this threat, which is defeated within 50 minutes. But I think the biggest mistake they made, and I still stand by it, is that they could have done the show would have worked as a whole if they'd ended it an episode earlier. If they'd ended it with Daenerys just taking out the city.
Yeah.
And them all just looking up and going, well, you know, kind of backed the wrong horse here. You know, she like her lineage was not stable, and I think the reason she does it, unlike a lot of people who say otherwise, I think it's entirely justified to get her to that point. That to me worked. I totally understood why she was there. They had put enough in there that worked for me.
Yeah.
And that would have been it. And that would have been it, because then it would have ended in its same sort of tone and signature as it starts. That everything is. Everything goes in a circle, and everything is cruel, and everything is rather unfair. And
yes.
One leader is as bad as the next leader. And that would have been the sort of punchline to the series, is that, yeah, they got their new person, the Game of Thrones, and it was a bad call. And then that last episode, just don't have it. Because, you know, sometimes if you're going to have a dark series, sometimes you've got to Blake Seven it, haven't you? You've got to if you're going to play that tone throughout, if you don't play it at the end, and The Walking Dead made the same mistake. If you watch the last few episodes of The Walking Dead, which I know the series is ongoing in many different forms, it felt disappointing because it felt toothless for a series which had made its legacy on being brutal. And if you're going to make a brutal series, you can't be toothless in your finale. It'll be interesting to see when House of the Dragon actually finishes, whether they learn from that mistake.
Yeah, I think they probably will. So just on that matter of House of the Dragon, before we get to that, because I mean, I've watched House of the Dragon, but yes. I haven't watched Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
Yes.
So I don't really know much about it, other than that it's a prequel and that it's got elves in it.
Well, this is funny, Christian, because I have watched The Rings of Power, but I've not watched House of the Dragon, and I've not really followed it. All I know is that there's a guy with kind of elfish fin-like ears, according to another show, in it. So I actually know, I've not followed really anything to do with House of Dragon. I've not been remotely interested, to be honest.
Okay.
I've been glad to see that Matt Smith has been given good credit, and I am surprised as well as I'm surprised it's managed to succeed given the legacy of its predecessor.
Mm, yeah. Well, I noticed both shows have got really good casts.
Yes.
I'm just looking at The Rings of Power. You've got Jim Broadbent doing the voice. You've got Ben Daniels, Charles Edwards, who played Michael Palin in that Monty Python drama many years ago. Rory Kinnear from the Bond movies. Got loads of good... Have I just seen a familiar name? Maxim Baldry, the little kid from Mr. Bean's Holiday, is in it as well. And then over in the House of the Dragon, you got Paddy Considine, who dies at some stage, and don't want to give too many spoilers away, but he returns after death in flashbacks. You got Matt Smith, you've got Emma Darcy, you've got Reese Ifans is absolutely fantastic in this show, by the way. I have to say, he is by far and away, he just basically, every scene he's in, even opposite Matt Smith, he's the person you're looking at. He's absolutely superb in it. They're both great casts, which I think works to the benefit of both shows. When you got good cast and good material, then you're going to have a good result, I think. So I think what we need to do is attempt, as best we can, to sell each other the show that we've been watching.
Okay. Can I just not tell you why you've been watching the wrong show?
Go on, then.
And then we end. No, that'll just be the next segment. It's just easier, isn't it? Because obviously that's what I'm going to attempt to do.
Okay.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, again, I think House is funny that with House of Dragon, you wonder, in a sense, if it had... This is a genuine question. Do you think if it had started without Game of Thrones attached, if it wasn't part of the franchise and existed as itself... And I think I know the answer to this. Do you think that it would, do you think it can exist by itself and be its own thing? Or do you feel it's better to be attached to the Game of Thrones legacy?
I think it can stand alone, yeah. I think the only thing it really relies on is that thing that you referred to earlier, the sort of cynical world. It's the only real shared element, you know, the locations, whatever. Aside from that, it could stand on its own, yeah. And so I think that's why they set it 200 years. I think that's why they chose that place. It's far enough detached.
So it sort of has almost like a spiritual continuity. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously I know there is continuity there because I have seen various pop-up box outs on various websites about, you know, how this makes sense to so-and-so. So there's obviously tapestry there, but the tapestry isn't as important as the tone is what you come back for, the sense of that world.
Yeah.
Oh. Fair enough.
Okay. So what about the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power? Would that exist without Lord of the Rings?
I think, yeah. I think in this, probably the same way as Game of Thrones, is that obviously both of them are set so far before that they can work on their own. I would say Rings of Power probably, I would say almost certainly based on what you're saying, while I wouldn't say it relies on, it very much greatly more acknowledges the relevance of Lord of the Rings, in part because you've got several characters which are old enough by the nature of their characters to exist in both. So, you know, you have a Galadriel, you have an Elrond. For those who haven't watched Lord of the Rings, the film, but did play the Hobbit Spectrum video game in 1984, he's the guy you could pick up and put into your rucksack for no reason. It was weird, that.
Yeah.
Pick up Elrond. You put Elrond in your rucksack. You can carry him around. You have him in your rucksack. Beer, a coin, Elrond, some food. And yet, if you attacked Elrond, he would break your skull.
Yeah.
There was a weird dynamic going on there. But yeah, so you do have those sort of elements of connections. And I think there is a certain amount of, because it is based on literary material, some literary material that Tolkien wrote,
yeah,
outside Lord of the Rings, from the appendix, but from other sources as well. I suppose that's where it differs from House of the Dragons, is it can't be entirely its own thing. It's still going to be considered, tested, and critiqued based on those other sources, as much as we said, the spiritual connection it might have to Lord of the Rings, the films.
Well, House of the Dragons based on a book called Fire and Blood.
Oh, is it? I see. I wasn't even aware. I think I actually vaguely was aware of that, but it hadn't sprung to mind.
Yeah.
Given, we must point out, Reese, we've done zero research for this podcast, if it's not obvious already.
I knew that there was like ancillary material from the Lord of the Rings and other material that that Tolkien had written that contributed to Rings of Power.
I suppose one of the differences there is that Tolkien's dead.
He is.
In a sense,
and like George R. R. Martin, he's not writing any more novels.
True, but Martin is still around.
Yeah.
In a sense, that means that I think with Tolkien, there is a tendency for fans to start doing a bit of gatekeeping or positioning themselves as the authority on what his texts meant.
Yes.
Or were meant to mean, or how they would be interpreted. While you've got Martin is still around, even though I don't think that makes much of a difference to a lot of fans, you still have a preeminent voice on the meaning of the world that he created. So I think some of the hits on Lord of the Rings, sort of Rings of Power, especially in terms of IMDb, a lot of it has been down to, again, interpretations of what it should be based on the sort of gatekeeping of those people who believe that they understand what this should be or what it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of that.
I'm just going to interrupt the conversation between myself and James to let you know that the episode that you're listening to is not the full conversation. If you want to get hold of the full podcast every week, then we are releasing an extended length podcast on Patreon for our subscribers. Now, subscribing to Patreon, we have a free tier, which gives you a free little bonuses every now and again. We have got two paid tiers, and both of those paid tiers come with a couple of bonuses. We've got a limited edition postcard associated with that, but also importantly, they both have a free trial. So you can try out getting the podcast through Patreon and the extended content that you get with that. So, for example, last week we had an extended chat with Gareth Cavani in the previous podcast. This week's podcast, James and myself discusses the benefits of watching House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, in a more detailed manner. So that's what we're going to be doing moving forward. Each podcast will have a longer version on the Patreon, and there's some other ideas that we've got brewing about what we're going to put out through Patreon going forward. So you can still subscribe to Casterbus in the same way that you have always. Visit the website, listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever your podcast service of preference may be. But the definitive podcast, as one might say, will be available through Patreon, the full length, full bull version of Casterbra. So if you're interested in checking that out, if you want to try out the free trial or just sign up the free version to get the notifications, then head to patreon.com/Casterbras. That brings us to the end of this. Basically, you can just tell
us. Watch what you want, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, watch what you want, but we'd be very interested to hear what you think, which one of these you've been watching or which one you're interested in watching after hearing us witter on about them for the best part of an hour, depending on whether you've got this podcast on Patreon, where you'll get extra material for a small fee, thank you, or whether you're just listening to it on Spotify or through the castservice.co.uk website, where you'll get the standard sort of 30 to 40 minute version of this podcast. We'll be back for another discussion over stuff that we've been watching or enjoy soon. Until then, it's goodbye from us. Theme tune here.